Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for just blessing us again. We just thank you, Father, for being in the midst of us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us back from the storm. Lord, as I attempt to preach this message today, I pray that you will be with me, Lord, and it's your words and your thoughts and not mine. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, we want to thank Minister Phillips for just facilitating the conference call last Sunday. She did an excellent job, as she always does. And at the end of it, I spoke of one point from the passage today, which is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6 is where we're focusing on today. And last week, I spoke from the fourth verse briefly, and I understand that some on the call did not hear me when I mentioned where the scripture came from last week. It was Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. But this week, we're going to deal with the whole section of that chapter, starting at the first verse of Ecclesiastes, the book that is attributed to Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And it reads, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both be alike will be good." The topic, as you see in the back of your program, is now is the time. Now is the time. A week ago, yesterday, a few days ago, we were witnessing the weather reports that it's coming this way. We're going to get hit with 7 to 10 inches of snow. We watched the weather. We knew it was coming, or the possibility of it coming, a week before it came. But every time this happens, there's a strange phenomenon that occurs when it's closer and closer. You drive by grocery store parking lots. They look like Black Friday. It looks like they're going out of business. There's so many cars parked there. You go in and there's something about bread and milk that makes it fly off the shelves. People wait until the last minute to do things that they know they need to do.
Come on.
They get essential supplies as if they're going to be homebound for a month. I witnessed it. We do things that we've had on our mind for a while. When times like this come, I have to be honest with you, I thought about it Friday. I've been needing new tires on my truck for 6 months. And I thought about it Friday. I said, wait a minute now. I want to drive my truck in the snow. So I need to check out some new tires. So I went to get some new tires on Friday. I wasn't the only one that had that same idea. I had to wait 2 hours, but I didn't have nothing else to do because the snow was coming. Things that we have on our mind for a while, we put off for various reasons. Sometimes we put it off because it's not the right time for us. It's not convenient for us. Some things we put off because the finances are not right. We're waiting for another time. But there's a warning in this message today that the waiting for the perfect time might not be the perfect thing to do. Now is the time to do certain things. Many times we just need to step out on faith and do it. Solomon uses illustrations here of a businessman and a farmer to illustrate his point about now being the time. We never know what's going to happen tomorrow. This time in a few days, we might start getting reports about another storm coming. And we'll repeat the same cycle all over again. If you know you need a shovel, go get it now. If you want some salt for your driveway, go get it now. It's on sale now. You can get it. They're in stock now. You can get it. Don't wait until the last minute to get the things that you really need. As we look at these few verses, and in verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. We try our best to control our circumstances. And Solomon, as the wisest man in the world, was also one of the richest men in the world at that time. And he got his riches by investing wisely. He got his riches by going far and wide and bringing things to the kingdom that they needed. If you read his accounts in Kings, you will see that he had a mighty navy. And the navy would go out and trade for spices. The navy would go out and trade for this. They would bring the best lumber back to the city. They would bring things back. His navy would do that. There's even one passage that talks about the peacocks and the apes they bring back from a foreign country. And as a businessman, you have to know that there are risks involved with doing anything. As someone who sends ships out to foreign lands, you might think that this ship might not make it. I'm sending this shipment, but what happens if it doesn't get to its destination? What happens to my ships if they run upon the reefs? What happens if a storm comes and takes out my fleet? What he's talking about is diversification. He's talking about here not procrastinating, not waiting for the perfect opportunity, because the perfect opportunity might never come. So what he says is, cast your bread upon the waters. Cast it. Go ahead and do it. Cast it on the waters, for you will find out after many days. You will find out the results of doing this after many days. Cast your ships out. Tell them where to go. Yes, some might disappear. Some might not make it. But without risk, there are no rewards. Amen? We procrastinate in our lives. One area we do is in our financial portfolio. We seek financial advice from people, and we know that we need to put a little bit aside so we will have something for our rainy days or for our retirement. But it never seems to be the right time to do that. It always seems like we have too much month and not enough money. Well, we can't really contribute what we really want to. And we don't know what to contribute in to maximize our returns. Do I put my money in a IRA or do I play the stock market? Do I rely on games of chance? Or do I develop a sound investment portfolio? There are risks involved with anything that we do. Some have to be burnt before they realize that they need to change their methodology. They need to change the way they do things. Many sleepless nights come to us while worrying about our finances. Solomon knew a little bit about this, and he knew that even in spite of the risk involved, he still needed to conduct business when time was near to do business. He could not afford to wait. He could not afford to procrastinate. He knew that now is the time. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Verse 2, give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. And Solomon gives us good advice on protecting our investments. This is where he talks about that diversification. If you're going to send out, send enough in different directions or different ways you know, some might not turn out so well, but then others will, but you still got to do it. Go ahead and give a serving to seven and also to eight. This will give you protection. What Solomon is saying is don't put all your eggs in one basket. Amen? Because if that basket falls, all the eggs will crack. We know that as practical advice. We know inherently that if we put all of our faith in one thing, in one financial scheme, in one financial plan, that might not work out for us. There are some risks involved in investing. There are some risks involved in conducting business. But you know what? If you don't conduct your business, you won't get anywhere. Amen? Even though there are risks, if we don't conduct it, we will not get anywhere. And he tells us, for we do not know what evil might come. See, sometimes it's the fear of the unknown that paralyzes us, that keeps us from moving forward. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so I will not proceed today. I don't have faith that God's going to take care of me, regardless of what is going on. We don't know what evil is coming. The threat of storms should not paralyze us. The threat of danger should not immobilize us. The threat of the unknown should not freeze us from working today, preparing for tomorrow. So he talks about the businessman. He talks about the businessman. The only way the businessman does well is by getting out there. Doesn't know when exactly the right time might be, but this is the right time. Then he talks about the farmer in verse 3. Talks about the farmer. And I know many of us have grown up or have relatives who have had farms. So we probably know more about farming than we know about shipping. Amen? Mm-hmm. Farming. And it says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. What he's saying is that storms will come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Bad times will come. We can see the signs of a storm. We can hear the reports of a storm. It will come. We can't change that. So our job is just to be prepared regardless of what is going on. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If it looks like rain, then more than likely, it's gonna rain. Amen? So this is not the time to be driving down the road thinking about those windshield wipers that don't work when you see rain coming. It do it now. Because storms will come. Rain will come. And he talks about a tree in the next part of that verse. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lay or lie. Trees will fall. Just last week, a giant sequoia tree in California fell down, over 1,000 years old. It was called the Pioneer Cabin because years ago in the 1880s, somebody had the bright idea to carve a tunnel through the bottom of the tree. This was a giant sequoia tree, and the tunnel was wide enough that a horse-drawn carriage with four horses could get through it. And then people started driving their cars through it, and people would picnic underneath the insides of this tree, this majestic tree that has stood for more than 1,000 years. Last week, storms came to California. Last week, floods came to the area. Somebody heard a crash. They went out, the rangers went out, and that tree was lying down. That tree was lying down. They knew the tree was going to fall eventually. They knew it was going to fall eventually. It was just a matter of time. The right conditions came with the rains, the storms, and the wind to knock the tree over.
Yeah.
And it's lying just where it fell.
Yeah.
What this is saying is that no matter what we think about, the danger that we think is ahead, danger will come. Tragedy will come. Trees will fall. That's going to happen. And there's not much that we can do about it. Scientists looked over it and tried for years. How can we keep these trees standing up? But there are some things that we just have to let nature take its course. We cannot use the possibility of something negative happening to keep us from doing what we need to do, to keep us inactive. This tree fell, and this tree is gone. There was another tree that fell years ago in another park, in Sequoia National Park in California. And that tree, that Sequoia tree, fell a long time ago. But what they did was, instead of moving it, it was too big to move.
Uh-huh.
They just carved a tunnel in it, laying down, so the cars could drive right through. Right through the tree, laying down. It was so tall that you could carve a tunnel. We had the pleasure of driving through that years ago. But you see, what this is saying is things will happen. They will happen. And we cannot let the danger of things happen paralyze us and keep us or seduce us into a state of inactivity just because things are going to happen. Storms will come. Trees will fall.
Yes.
And verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow. This speaks to the farmer who says it's too windy, so I can't sow my seeds in the field. This talks about the farmer who looks at the clouds at the end of the season and says, it looks like the storm's coming, so I can't reap what is ripe that I have planted. Anybody who's a farmer knows that there's never a perfect time. So when you find a time, you have to go out and do it. You have to go out and do it. If it's time to plant, you better plant. You better plant and better pray that God will allow it to stay there and the storms will not come and wipe it away. But you still got to do it. The farmer still has to do it. The farmer still has to go out and milk the cows. The farmer still has to go out and collect the eggs from the chickens. The farmer still has to go out and feed the pigs. Irregardless of the storms that are around, irregardless of the conditions that are around, you still got to take care of business. And when the crop is ripe, don't let the storm or the threat of storms or wind change your mind from going out and picking it when it's ripe. Because I've lived long enough to know that if you let it stay on the vine too long, what is going to happen to it? It's going to rot. It's going to rot, and then it'll be good for nothing. One will miss the window of opportunity to plant during the prime planting season. They will also miss the opportunity to harvest during the prime harvest season. Sometimes when we're waiting for the best time to do something, we end up doing nothing. But now is the time. Look at verse 5. As you do not know what is the way of the wind. As you do not know what is the way of the wind. Another time, Solomon is saying that you don't know the way of the wind. You know, we have a lot of technical advances now. They can predict storms 10 days in advance. They can measure the flow, the bariatric pressure and everything else and come up with theories of what's going to happen. But you know, we're not smart enough. We haven't figured out Mother Nature yet enough to know the difference between 7 inches of snow and 3 inches of snow. Amen? If we were all that, we could predict the exact amount. We could say it'd be 3.5 inches of snow and 1 inch of sleet. But we can't do that yet. We can predict the data that is there, but we will never know the way of the wind. We will never know. Or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. Just as a pregnant woman can only trust God that everything will turn out okay. We can only trust God that our businesses, that our endeavors, that our activities, that our ministries, that our other activities will turn out okay. We cannot wait for the assurance of success before we proceed in what God wants us to do. And he concludes in that fifth verse, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. And isn't that true? When as a couple, we get pregnant, we are happy, we glorify God because God is doing a wonderful things in our life, but we don't know how the child is going to turn out, but we just have to pray and that God will protect us, that God will develop things in the right way. We don't know how things are going to turn out, but that does not stop us from trying, even in the midst of not knowing. Even in the midst of not knowing, we still have to press on. So in verse 6, he concludes by saying, in the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand. Do your job. Do your business. Be diligent about doing what you do, whether it's investment, whether it's business, whether it's farming, whatever it is, be diligent about doing it. For now is the time. Says, for you do not know which will prosper. Do you know how many people who are successful now have had failed businesses before they got to the point where they are now? Do you know how many success stories have started out with tragedy? Because things did not go right, but the individuals involved had the wherewithal to keep on pressing regardless of the situation, to keep on having faith regardless of the situation. Many of us have come up with plans. Many of us have come up with ideals only to see them die on the vine because we did not press on when the time was near, when the time was ready, even when the time it was not the right time. We can still learn something from not being successful. We can learn how to be better the next time. So as Solomon says, go ahead and sow your seeds. It might be windy. It might be storming. Sow your seeds. And in the evening, keep on doing what you need to do. Our job is to keep on doing. Just because we can't figure out how things work out. Again, there's no excuse for inactivity. You know, Paul spoke on inactivity to the church at Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, he's dealing with them because they have gotten to the point where they know that the Lord is coming. So they quit doing what they were doing.
Come on.
They quit ministering like they were ministering. They quit being good business people like they were supposed to be. And it says in the 10th verse of 2 Thessalonians 3, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? But he was being real. Right. He was telling them they need to be diligent, regardless of how they feel about the Lord coming soon. Verse 11 of that same chapter, 2 Thessalonians 3, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. There was discord among the community because people quit working. They just got into everybody else's business. They became busybodies. There are busybodies in the church not willing to do your own work but want to make sure and see what somebody else is doing, walking in a disorderly manner. How do you keep yourself from walking in a disorderly manner? Mind your own business. Do what you need to do. Work in the gift and the area of giftedness that God has given you. There's one more thing I want to share with you today before I close out. In this area of doing things when it needs to be done, that now is the time, and don't procrastinate. In our spiritual life, in our spiritual life. We cannot wait. We always wait for the perfect opportunity. I can't go to church because it's raining a little bit outside. I can't do this because the conditions are not right. I see the clouds on the horizon, so I can't do this. I got other things to do, so I can't pray right now. I can't read right now. I can't read and study the Bible right now because somebody called me up and there's a sale going on down at the mall. I got to put that off. I got my other priorities. There are other social meetings I need to be at, so I have to neglect you right now, Lord. But now is the time. Now is the time in our spiritual life. Today is the right time to prioritize our life on Jesus Christ. There will be a day when we will have to face the Lord, and there will be no excuses on that day. He wants to know whether or not we have done what we need to do. There will be no times for excuses. We can't blame it on the storms in our life. Because I have found that my strength comes from the stormy times. My strength comes from times when I am challenged. My strength comes from times when I can't figure out a way out. But then the Lord steps in. That's when my strength comes in. That's when my faith is strongest, because I know that I can't do it. Lord, I know something about a lot of things, but there's some things I don't know, Lord. You have to help me out in this situation, Lord. I need your help, Lord. And how can I ask for your help if I don't know you, Lord? How can I ask for your help, Lord, if I don't know your word, Lord? You might be directing me to a passage that has the word I need to know today, Lord. I need to be diligent in my study. I need to be like David. I need to hide the word in my heart so that I might not sin against you anymore, Lord. I need to know the difference between right and wrong. I need to know the difference between being practical and being impractical. I need to know the risk of between being risky and being prudent. I need to know the risk. Lord, help me out, Lord. Help me with my walk, Lord. I can't see around the corner, Lord, but you can, Father. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm barely hanging on today, Lord. You guide me. You direct my steps. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Today is the day. Now is the time to be diligent. Now is the time to be prudent. Now is the time to take care of business. If there's anything in your life that needs to be taken care of, don't wait until tomorrow. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. There's an old spiritual. Most of us know the words. It's called get right with God. Get right with God. And do it now. Get right with God. He will tell you. You have. Get right with God. Don't wait until tomorrow. Get right with God now. He will show you how. If you don't know how to proceed with your business, get right with God. He will let you know. Sometimes a failure is an important part of our growth plan and him preparing us for what we have to do later on in life. We celebrate successes, which is rightfully so, but we overlook the failures. We can look at countless athletes that we praise for how many yards they have run, how many home runs they have hit, how fast they are, but we forget that the same one who won the batting championship or the most home runs also struck out 300 times this season. We overlook that the one who holds the rushing yards also got caught behind the line of scrimmage many times. We overlook that. But see, that was all part of their process. They did not wait for the perfect opportunity to run the play that the coach had sent in. Coach said, this is what you're going to run? You're going to run this. I talked to a quarterback, a college quarterback, years ago. And I asked him something about what was one of the most unique times in his quarterbacking. And he said, the time that I did not listen to the coach. He was starting quarterback on a major college team. He said the play was sent in to him to do this, but he had a better idea. He did another play. He said he didn't play for two games because he ignored the coach. Even though his play was successful, it was not the play that the coach wanted him to run.
Right, right.
He had a better idea. You see, the coach knows a little bit more about the game than the player does. Our coach knows a little bit more about life than we do. When the play is given to us, our job is to run the play. It might not be successful, but run the play. Now is the time to decide who we are going to listen to. We cannot be divided. We must have one loyalty, and that is to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who directs us, who keeps us, who protects us, who shelters us, who guides us. The question is, do you know that now is the time? God bless you. Amen. Now is the time.